murder, corruption, greed, betrayal, sex. The new fictional crime novel entitled Network of Killers by author D.B. Reynolds explodes with elements of excitement. To find out more about this explosive book, please visit the author's website at www.d-b-reynolds.com. Available in print edition at Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes & Noble Nook.
Welcome to Authors First on the Artists First World Radio Network, artistsfirst.com. Tony Kay in the studio. Thanks for joining us, everyone, worldwide. If you are an author, independent recorded artist, or looking for a weekly show, we have lots of publicity opportunities available. Just follow the links provided on our homepage at artistsfirst.com. If you're an Android cell phone user, be sure to check out the extra links we've provided at artistsfirst.com. And don't forget to get out there on your social network sites and tell everyone about our broadcasts available in MP3 format, available free on demand at artistsfirst.com. This hour, my privilege to introduce Angelon Edwards, author of Reality Check, Stepmother's Chronicles. To learn more about our guest, visit her website, www.stepmother-chronicles.com. And let's give a warm welcome to our guest. How do you do?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm trying to learn how to use our equipment.
Oh, yeah, I know. Technology is going faster than we can even think.
Well, of course, Artists First Radio, always on the cutting edge, upgrading our programs. Mm-hmm. We use the same broadcast technology any 50 or 100,000 watt radio station would use, and we're proud to train college students from area universities, Kent State, Mount Union College, mm-hmm. Walsh and Bologna University. So it's a lot of fun. And,
great.
We're just grateful that you have chosen to support the arts on Artists First Radio. And thank you so much for being our guest. Tell us about this process, Angelon Edwards, of becoming an author. Was this an outgrowth of personal experiences or research?
It's actually just a combination of both. I have always been intrigued by writing stories. And when I was in school, me and my friends would pass notebooks back and forth and add sentences and paragraphs to each other's stories. And then we began to write books. And then, you know, when I went to college, and then I got married, and I saw one of those children aptitude tests in like a magazine. And so I decided to take it, one of those writing aptitude tests. And I did a course with the Children's Institute of Children's Literature. That really encouraged me because I wanted to, I'm a social worker, so I wanted to kind of write to help people. And I really wanted to start with kids. But meanwhile, I was personally going through just a transformation from being a single woman to being a stepmother. So I was journaling, and my journaling, when I would review and look back at it, I think I really started in 2005. I just kind of was like, this is like a book. And I said, I'm just going to just write a story, incorporate that. And then I had some girlfriends and some people, strangers that I really didn't even know, but we would like connect on the same topic of being a step parent. And I just combined my story, their stories, and made it into like one person, and included different little, you know, snippets of their stories into my book, and just created this fiction novel.
How exciting. This was a long journey then. Not just an instant thing, well, I'm going to start writing this book. You really were living out the experience of being a stepmother yourself?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that has unique challenges. Now, tell us about the children. What ages?
Well, right now, she is a beautiful 16-year-old. And so I've been in her life since she was 4 months. So I've, been played a big role in helping to raise her, helping her parents raise her, and just being there for her. So it's been a journey, though, because everything is not as peachy keen as we would love it to be. A blended family can have its challenges. I think the biggest challenge in my own situation was basically just the communication, and then a lot of different dynamics that even other people were saying that they were experiencing, like communication, the discipline. I didn't really discipline my stepdaughter. I kind of left that to her parents. The regret, the rejection, the feeling of being left out as a step-parent. So you have that exclusion there. Sometimes the intimidation of, you're not a parent yet kind of thing. Displace anger, because I think at some point in time, talking with some other stepmothers, they were upset with the stepchild or stepchildren themselves instead of really recognizing that they should be angry at the parents for kind of letting the stepchildren either disrespect them or not listen to them or making them disciplined when they shouldn't be the disciplinarian, should be the parent. So that, and then just having the emotional ambiguity of, man, I really love this child because this is a great child, but I hate the situation because I have to have all these other feelings and all these other dynamics are going on. So it causes a lot of just some doubt of like, oh, do I even want to stay with this? And is this worth it? And that's what a lot of other stepmothers were going through. And I just encompassed that all in my book. So.
And what about the role of your parents as the stepmother?
For myself?
Yeah, I mean, look, I have four boys and one girl, and I know mm-hmm. that my daughter talks to my wife multiple times a day. You know what I mean? There's a special relationship there. And trying to be the best mother you can be, I'm sure you're relying on the instruction, advice, counsel of your parents.
Yeah. I have been through the past 3 to 4 years. Actually, the past 5 years has been kind of difficult. My parents have gone through some health changes. My parents are older. I have older siblings who are at least 7 years older than me. So they weren't that involved in the past recent years. But yeah, at the beginning, my dad was just kind of like, he don't want to be involved in this. If her mother starts talking crazy or accuses you of stuff, you might need to get out of it. My mother really was like, she is one of my grandchildren. My mother really embraced her, which really inspired me to just push through whatever issues I had with the grown-ups in the situation and just be there for my stepdaughter. And I did, and I incorporated her, and I was leading Girl Scouts, so she was in my Girl Scout troop, and I would take her places, and I did special things with her. She was always involved with me and my nieces and my nephews. She was, so she was definitely part of the family, but my mother helped orchestrate that. My dad was a little more like, I want to see how this plays out. But once I actually married my husband, things kind of subsided for my dad, and he embraced her as well. So, my parents are very supportive in it. I think, like I said, I think it's the adults and the other dynamics that made it just more difficult. So.
Well, it's been 12 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And children go through a lot of changes from age 4 to 16.
Right.
Did you find that you...
She was 4 months when I got involved.
Oh, I'm sorry, 4 months.
Yeah, so she was an infant.
16 years now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Have you found that you and the birth mother have similar or dissimilar values and interests?
I think we've grown to respect one another, and I think we are cordial now. At one point, we didn't really talk, or it was always, you know, with that girl and that girl, you know. But we're more mature now, and so we're very cordial to each other. We've had a couple of discussions just about, you know, she's a teenager now, so we're talking about, okay, who does she say she liked to you, and, you know, and what are we going to do about her wearing this makeup, and, you know, we talk, and I think that's good because I kind of leave it at that. I don't make decisions with her. I don't try to get involved with my husband and her discipline on her. If she does something, I just kind of support them on it. I don't try to go against or anything like that, because I do think that step parents need to support their spouses, but they don't need to take over or be the main disciplinarian. Like, I feel uncomfortable with that, because there were times in the past where I might have said, oh, no, she can't do that. And then I've had the birth parents come behind me and say, oh, yes, she can. So then that discredits me. And I was disrespected. And then she kind of looked, you know, my stepdaughter looked at me, well, I don't have to listen to you. But, you know, it's been a journey. Like you said, 16 years. Things are in a better spot now. She talks to me. We have our own special relationship. We can talk to each other. I'm very open. I work with teenagers for my job. So I am very receptive and understand what she goes through and what she's thinking and, you know, the things that happen at school. And so I just give her sound advice, you know, as a mother figure. But I don't think because she's at my house that I'm replacing her mother. And I think that's something step parents need to realize.
Is it more of a big sister role?
No, it's not a big sister role. I mean, she calls me mom sometimes. She calls me stepmom. She, you know, sometimes she calls me by my first name, but she really respects me. I mean, if I tell her I don't think that's a good idea, she understands that I mean what I say. And but it's in a respectful way. I mean, there's no, I'm not intimidated. You know, she may be intimidated by me, but I mean, I don't know if she is or not, but she respects me enough that I haven't had to discipline her in order to earn my respect from her. Like, she just knows, well, you know, Angelon said this, and so it's that way. But, you know, there have been times where she'll double back and be like, well, I'm going to ask Daddy, and then Daddy might say something else, or she'll call her mom, and Mom might override something I say, and that's fine. That's their daughter, and I support that, but I don't support being undermined like that. So that is a dynamic that in my own personal situation that I did kind of address in the book, but that I think that a lot of step parents have to deal with, being undermined, and it kind of it puts you in a bad position because you lose that respect and you lose that status as a parent when you get, you know, trumped down all the time, you know.
Angelon Edwards, our guest this hour on Authors First, Tony Kaye in the studio. We invite all of you to visit the website, stepmother-chronicles.com. 16 years as a stepmother and a professional counselor bring to bear in this book. Extremely helpful for all. Anyone in that position, regardless of the age, you're going to find pearls of wisdom and advice that's practical for your situation. Reality check, Stepmother's Chronicles. Did you intend this principally for females, or do you believe it crosses over and men could benefit from the knowledge?
I've had some male friends who have purchased the book and read it, and they were like, oh, this is really good. And I'm not sure if it's something, because they're my friends, of course, they were curious as to what it is. I would love to say that it crosses over, and I think that if someone's in a blended family, it may be more insightful to a male, especially the father who is in a blended family, to be able to see what his wife is thinking or feeling at times. This is definitely not the staple for all blended families. I mean, this is just one story, and like I said, it's a combination of many different conflicts and dynamics that I've heard from other people. So it may be kind of extreme, but it's just one facet of how people perceive themselves and what the things that they're going through when they're in a blended family. That it just takes, you know, it just breaks down a lot of the family dynamics that happen in families like that. You know, you're coming from two different disciplines, two different values, and it's already like that when you have a regular male and female relationship. Throw in a third person or sometimes a fourth person, and now you have like four adults involved in these children's lives who are supposed to be all, you know, parents. But the step parents, again, like I said, need to let the birth parents do their role.
It's the worst job in the world, everyone. Let me tell you. Being a step-parent is the hardest thing you'll ever do.
Yeah.
Period.
But
end of subject.
I'm glad that I experienced it. I'm glad that I did.
Well, I've done it now for 25 years, so I understand it 100% of the way.
Wow,
and I'm
that's
telling
a long
you,
time.
I know what it's like firsthand. It is difficult. And especially if you, like you did, Angelon Edwards, having a child from 4 months and and having to deal with that natural birth parent, that's tough.
Right.
It's tough. There is no question.
Yeah.
Because you're called upon to be the mother, to be the parent 24/7 under your roof.
Right. Yeah. And well, for me in my situation, we did not raise her. We had her faithfully every other weekend. So, you know, my husband, he only had to really do that for a weekend. You know what I mean? It lasted from Friday to Sunday, us having, you know, this blended family. So that's why, you know, sometimes even in our relationship, it would go back and forth and back and forth, because when she's there, these dynamics pop up. But when she left, then we're back to, well, it's just the two of us. So, you know, it took some adjusting to get to that, you know, for a single woman to go from single woman to, okay, now I'm a mom on certain weekends, you know. And
I'm calling your father. You better
right.
get your act together.
I actually had fun, because a lot of weekends it was just me and her, because he had to work. So we would go do all kinds of stuff, go out to eat and go shopping, hang out with my friends. It was great, you know. So it had its perks, but it also, you know, when those dynamics showed up, it sure was not fun at all.
It gets better when they go off to college and begin to think on their own. And you know, it really does make a big difference. You'll
right.
see. So just hang in there, everybody. It'll be
all
right.
Yes.
It'll be. It gets better until the grandchildren come.
Right. Yeah.
Then it kind of starts all
hopefully.
Over again.
Hopefully that won't happen for a very, very long time.
Yeah. Reality Check, Stepmother's Chronicles. You've had a good time putting this together, because it's near and dear to your heart personally as well as professionally. What resources did you utilize, or do you think that this experience drove you closer to wanting to be a professional in this field?
Well, I had already became a social worker before I even wrote my novel, but because my intentions were really to write children's books to use with, you know, in my career. But, you know, I just feel like this really benefits me to be able to broaden my horizon. I've started a positive step parenting support group here in my city. And we're not currently meeting now, but we started it last year. And, you know, that was even good, because I've had women call me who, it's kind of good and bad. It's good because I've had women call me for support. They want advice. What should I do? This is happening in my family, blah, blah, blah. The bad thing about it is a lot of them, they, you know, like they're calling me anonymous and stuff, because they're like, you know, I don't want my husband to know that I feel this way, or that I have these feelings, or that I don't like his son, or I don't like his daughter, you know. And that's kind of sad, just to know that there's people who are feeling that way and they feel like they have to hide to get help, you know.
Is that why you made it an adult fiction novel?
Yeah. Yep. I wanted to make sure. I wanted women to feel like, like you asked me before if this crosses over from male to female, but I just can kind of feel like I just want people who are in a blended family to see how everyone in a blended family may feel, you know. And this is just in one example, you know. And I did do another novel. My second novel is Love Conquers All. And that novel, it actually is all about love, love and relationships, marital love, parent-child love, and loving yourself. And I actually did incorporate some step-parenting, blended family stuff in that novel as well, because I think it's really important to recognize that blended families are not going away. They're growing, and they're growing at an alarming rate. People are getting divorced and remarried. People are having, you know, children out of wedlock and marrying someone else. You know, especially children who have, you know, our teenagers who have children, and then they get older, they're most likely going to marry someone else, not their boyfriend or girlfriend. So then they have that dynamic.
My wife and I just decided there's no step-parent here.
Right.
We just decided there's no step-mom, no step-dad. There's mom, there's dad. We're the parents, you're the kids. Live with it.
Right.
And that's what we did. We don't, our children don't call us step anything.
Yeah, you know what? And that is very smart, because I think for me, I started to feel that way. But like I said, I think at the time, me and her mom had a conflictual relationship, just, you know, because their relationship didn't work out and he was in a new one. So she was, from what I was hearing, she was telling her, oh, you know, don't call her that. And, you know, and she, you can't be alone with her. And she's just going to do this or mean to you because, you know, she don't like me. So it was kind of like, I was being set up. So it's like one day, yeah, I'm stepmom. Next day, yes, I'm mom. The other day, it's Angelon. So it's like,
it's sad. It is. It's totally tragic when parents use their children as pawns to get to.
And like I said, we're mature now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want you to be happy because I'm not happy, okay?
Right. And ironically, I mean, like right now, I think her mother is happy, and I think she's at a good place. So that helps for us to actually have a conversation and be on each other's team, besides the fact that we're more mature now. You know, it's been 16 years. But, yeah, it definitely started off as she was a pawn and mad because she wasn't happy and, you know, and he was with someone else, and she was sabotaging that. Don't, you know, she's not your mom, and she can't keep you. You know, she can't do this with you. I don't want her alone with you. You know, it was just things like that. It was really, I felt unfair. And all of my excited and happiness about being a stepmom kind of fizzled out because of the things like that that were being said or done.
You know, this is the first time I've ever heard the term blended families. And yet, there's blendedfamilies.com.
Right. Yep.
I didn't know. I'd never heard of such a thing. So I'm just happy to report to our worldwide audience that these resources are available. And those that are listening right now from all points of the globe, you understand what's happening. Angelon Edwards has put it in a fiction novel, Reality Check, Stepmother Chronicles, but I'm sure many of you are living it or have lived the role of a step-parent, and or maybe you have children out there in your family that are now having to experience being a step-parent. BlendedFamilies.com, great resource, but of course, Reality Check, Stepmother Chronicles, a must-buy, must-have book if you are a step-parent. So we want you to find it. It's all over the World Wide Web, Borders.com, Amazon.com, Exlibris.com, and so forth. Be sure to visit the website. Angelon, you've done a tremendous job with the website.
I think it's
very informative. And what you know, and look right here, you received a 2008 Best Book Award.
Yeah.
So your material is being recognized for its value by others, and that must mm-hmm. be incredibly edifying to you to know that other people have read it and said, "Hey, this is a worthwhile endeavor." So
especially for my first novel, so yeah. I was very pleased, and it encouraged me to keep writing. And I just encourage anyone out there who has a dream to be a writer or write books or anything, do it. And stand behind it and, you know, do your best and do your research and get out there and accomplish your dream.
And do you think that it's good for the, perhaps for the stepchildren to read this book too?
I think it is because, you know, in all actuality, listeners an insight, the book is not bashing stepchildren at all, because like I said, I think it's this displaced anger sometimes stepparents have. They believe at first it's the child. The child's disrespectful. The child doesn't listen to me. The child gets away with all this and that. But think about it. It's the parents who are allowing this, you know. It's the adults in the situation who are causing all the drama. The adults who are saying you can't be around this child, or I don't want you over, you know, to have this child, or, you know, it's this, like you said, they're playing the games. So if they weren't doing that, then, you know, you would probably be able to appreciate your stepchildren a little bit more. I mean, kids will be kids. Some kids lie. Some kids, they are kind of bad. You know, unfortunately, in my personal situation, I had a good stepdaughter. She was well-behaved. But, you know, some people, they do have stepchildren who lie, who are kind of very manipulative. But, you know, kids do what they do. And you have to accept them. But they're kids. They're innocent. They have to be taught. And if the adults aren't teaching them, that's not the kid's fault. It's the adult's fault.
Well, you know your genes. And genes are strong.
Right.
I mean, they go through. There's grandma, there's grandpa, there's uncle, there's, and you don't know that family. Those aren't your genes.
Mm-hmm.
And as the step parent, you've got to figure out where this behavior is coming from. You might not see it in your husband, or if you're the husband, in your wife, because it comes mm-hmm. from the other side of the family, so to speak.
Right. But you just have to, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. Because, like I said, there are some kids who are just, you know, bad. They, you know, compulsive liars and things like that. And I'm not saying, you know, if they commit a crime, it's the parents' fault or anything like that. I'm just talking about within the home, within the blended family home, within that family. If your child's mother is telling the child, don't talk to the stepmother, or, you know, don't hug the stepmother, don't give her affection, which I've heard things like that, then it's up to you as the father in that home to say, you know what, I understand that's what your mother said, but in this home, we show affection, you respect the adults, she is my wife, you respect her. You know, you have to set the standard. You can't just let that be and say, oh, well, her mother taught her that, you know, or his mother taught him that. You know, I can't do anything about it. Yes, you can. In your home, you can. When they leave your home, okay, whatever, you know.
Now, this has been very therapeutic and has really solidified and helped you understand your own circumstance writing this book. And you began the process just by journaling, just by, well, I'm going to write my feelings down.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how it evolved into the book.
Right.
And when you were in college, now this goes back 10 years or so, right? You were at the University of Michigan?
No, I
no,
went
Western
to
Western Michigan.
Michigan University.
Western Michigan University. Okay, let me get that right. And so really that had happened. You were there studying counseling and so forth prior to getting involved with your husband and having a child.
Well, actually,
or both
while
at the same time.
I actually graduated in 96 with my bachelor's from Western, and then I got involved with my husband. And at that time, my stepdaughter was 4 months. So, and then I went back to grad school a couple years, 2-3 years later after that. So, yeah, during that time, I went to, you know, pursue my master's in social work during that time. So, yeah, everything was kind of happening all at once. So.
As usual.
Mm-hmm, right.
I mean, it's when it rains, it pours, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everything happens at one time. That's life.
Yeah.
But fortunately for you, you had the intellect and the interest. You already knew that social work was a part of what you wanted to do with your life. Are you happy with that decision? I mean, it's a stressful job. I mean, this
mm-hmm.
is
you know, it is, because you take on other people's problems and you try to, you know, help them find solutions. But, you know, it's rewarding as well, because I know that, you know, especially the kids I work with, when I hear them say, oh, you know, I want to talk to Mrs. Edwards, or, you know, you ask them, well, who's a trusted adult that you can talk to when you need to talk about something, you know, that's bothering you? And they say, Mrs. Edwards. It makes me feel good, and it helps me to know that I am doing my job and I'm doing it well enough for those students. So.
Well, wait a minute. There's 3 children. Is that right?
3 that I have, yes.
The stepdaughter and 2 other children.
And my son and my daughter. My son's a 3rd grader and my daughter's a preschooler.
You're a busy girl.
Yeah, I am. Hey, we're super women.
I guess so. Well, congratulations on your beautiful
Thanks.
Family. And I'm so delighted that Anthony, your husband, and your children all were able to merge and become that blended family successfully. You're to be commended for that. It's as
you.
I stated earlier, it's not an easy job putting it all together. And
yeah.
I'm sure there's been moments when your natural children have seen conflict and wondered why mother behaves differently with the stepdaughter.
Yeah, well, actually,
whether perceived or
they
not,
they haven't felt that way. But I have had in-laws feel that way. They feel like, oh, how come? You know, when the stepdaughter, how come when she comes, you know, you act this way, and then when we see you with your own kids, you act this way? Well, because there is a different relationship there. So.
There really is.
Mm-hmm, it is. But I mean, I totally love my stepdaughter, you know. But, you know, it's different between a birth child for me. Not everyone, because, you know, but for me, it was different because, like I said, with her, I had other people telling her, you can't do this, can't do that, you know, with her, and telling me, oh, she's not your daughter and all this stuff. And then with my own kids, I mean, I call the shots. I don't have this second, I have a second parent, but I don't have a third parent or, you know, people outside of my family telling me, you know, you can't tell your son to do this. You can't tell your daughter to do this. Yes, I can, because I'm their mother.
Did you and your husband, during the process over these years, need or seek out marriage counseling or parental counseling, or did you just work through it?
Oh, of course. We definitely sought counseling, and during counseling, I think I kind of realized that it was, let's see, when I got finished with my book, when I was almost finished with my book, we started going to counseling, and that kind of helped me to end my book on like positive kind of self-help feel, because I came to an epiphany that, hey, I can't change the situation. You know, the child, of course, is going nowhere. You know, the mother is going nowhere. My husband's going to always feel the way he feels, and I think he just kind of felt a little guilt, so sometimes there was a lot of kind of leniency on his part. And I was like, I can't change anyone else. I can only change myself. So that's the message that I give in reality check.
You need to change your own thinking. Yeah, I mean, when you see your children only on the weekends, there's a tendency to spoil them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to show them, shower lots of love and enthusiasm, and it's not it's not the day-to-day reality.
Right. Yeah, and so that's why I had I named the book Reality Check, because it wasn't reality, and they needed a reality check, you know?
Oh, yeah. And I'd like for people to read this book before they become step-parents.
Oh, yeah, I definitely encourage that, because I think you just need to know, even if you have a wonderful experience, which I've met one or two people who have had a wonderful experience. I'm sure there are maybe hundreds more out there like that. But for the most part, most of the majority people that I meet have the dynamics that are conflicting, that cause a little bit of, you know, a rift in their blended family, and they're, you know, trying to muddle through it. And, you know, like I said, we did seek counseling for it, just because we just needed some help here, because we had different opinions about it. And so I just had to respect that, respect the fact, like you said, that, hey, when she comes, we are going to have to plan some activities and do things that are fun. It's not going to be just like a regular old sit around and, you know, at home and do nothing kind of a thing. And you know, I had to just come to terms with that yes, when she comes, it is going to be like a carnival. However, to a certain extent, we're not going to go for broke, you know, which is where a lot of, I think, fathers make a mistake, that you only do things when that child comes, or you only spend that much money when that child comes, or, you know, that's kind of gives a mixed message even to your other kids, who see that, oh, when she comes, then all this fun stuff happens, and when she's not here, we don't do anything.
Do you think that your husband will read the book?
He's read the book, and he was supportive of it. I mean, he was like, oh, okay, I didn't really realize that you felt that way. But, you know, that it just became a topic that I had already written the book, except the ending, when we started our counseling. So, you know, at counseling, we just kind of, you know, talked about it. And then he realized my transformation as far as my mindset. And you have to change your mind. You have to learn to choose your battles wisely. Is it really worth fighting with him about whether or not she cleaned up her room? I mean, she's only going to be here for 2 days. You know what I mean? So it's like I don't have to, you know, I had to change my mind on a lot of things. So, you know,
did your stepdaughter's natural birth mother remarry?
I'm not sure if they're married, but she is in a long-term relationship. They seem very happy, and I'm very happy for her that she has other additional children with this other person. And I think it's great, because it's been an avenue, I think, to help her to move on, to see things from my perspective, because now she's a stepmother. And I think her mate has several other children. So she's experiencing probably five times more than what I am, because she has more than one. But I think that, you know, like I said, this comes with maturity, and we're at a different level now, and I think she understands. So that's why we're able to be cordial, discuss things, talk with one another now, where before we didn't, because, you know, she wasn't in that situation.
Well, you're very kind, and I can't thank you enough for attempting to be the very best parent you can be in the circumstance you found yourself in.
Yeah, I can only do what I can do.
Hey, that's all you can do as a parent. You do the best you can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether you come from a broken home or not, or a blended family or not, life is full of those challenges.
Right, it is.
And we have to realize to take the good with the bad. And as you said, choose your battles.
Right.
And just love life and cherish the moments.
Right.
Ultimately.
That and forgive people.
And forgiveness.
Because people are going to do things that you're not going to like. And you could either walk away from it, or if you're going to stay in it, you got to forgive so that it doesn't come up and you be bitter. And
that's right. That's right. Now, this book has really opened up a whole new area for you to speak publicly? Tell us about how creating the book has changed your life and the activity of your life.
Well, you know, it's really opened up a lot of avenues. I mean, like I said, I've always kind of been writing stories. So once I actually published and did a self-publishing, you know, people were very, at first I was, I'm very humble. So I try to be, I don't really tell a lot of people that I've written a book. So when I did share that with people, they were like, oh my gosh, you can do speaking, you can do this, this, and that, and the other. And, you know, that kind of makes me nervous because I am not, I don't feel like I'm a public speaker, but at the same time, I'm very passionate about this subject. So I find that when I start talking about it, it just flows right out and I just connect with people. And like I said, I've met strangers who have just been willing to share their whole story with me because they too, you know, are going or have experienced the things that I'm have talked about. So it's just opened up avenues for me to be able to talk with people, connect with other people, you know, of all different colors, ages, whatever. If they've been in a step family of some form, even some stepchildren have come up to me and said, oh, I got to read this book. I just want to know what my stepmother was thinking. And, you know, I think it's good. It's great to know that, hey, I'm connecting to all different levels and I'm actually could probably help people.
Wow. Thank you. And I believe you are. And every passing year, as millions of people become exposed to Reality Check Stepmother Chronicles, you'll get feedback. You know, do you think this is a genre of material you'll stay in touch with? Earlier in the broadcast, you discussed children's books. Are you going to return to that topic? Or?
Oh, yeah. I want to get in children's books, and I think I do want to do more like probably, which I had already started working on, but I am probably going to look into some nonfiction kind of, at least one, a stepmother, probably part two book, just like the 411 on being a stepmother, and just have like a kind of a workbook of for stepmothers that I think would be good for people who are going through premarital counseling or dating someone who is kind of like a pre, this is what you can expect, you know, if you become a step-parent, a stepmother. I like gearing it towards stepmothers because I know that there are a lot of us out there, and I know there's a lot of stepfathers as well, but I think the dynamics are a little different between them, even though I think all of them would benefit from what I'm talking about. I just feel like sometimes with stepfathers, they have that benefit of, unfortunately, a lot of fathers are not involved with their children, so they have the benefit of being the dad, like they are the dad and there's no question about it, where stepmothers, oftentimes the mothers are involved, and we have to always consider where there's your birth mother that I have to kind of, you know, deal with.
All right, let's talk about the two no-nos, religion and politics.
Mm-hmm.
How did you reconcile that, or were there... was neither one of those much of a conflict?
You know what? It really wasn't much of a conflict in my personal case. But I think that when it comes to that, you just have to respect other people. You have to respect the fact that, you know, people are not raised the same, you know, and so you are going to have different beliefs. But that doesn't mean that you disrespect someone.
Well, if you're at Daddy's every weekend and Daddy likes to go to this church, but Mommy goes to the other one.
Yeah, and see, my stepdaughter, when she was at home, she didn't, with her mother, she didn't attend church. But with me, like I said, I had her most of the time and my husband was at work. I would, she would come to church with me. So, you know, and when I say you have to respect other people and what they believe in, I am including, you know, the children, you know, and she respected me, like I said, enough to, you know, attend church with me and stuff. I mean, it wasn't anything that she was like going home saying, oh, I can't wait. And I know that she didn't really like to go to church because it wasn't something she was used to, but she respected me enough to go, you know, and I think that was big in itself. And it shows, too, just her respect for me, that she knew, you know, well, you know, that Angela was taking me to church. I already know that, you know, it wasn't a fight to go. But I know she didn't really, that wasn't like her number one thing to do, but she really didn't have a choice because, you know, Daddy was at work, so.
Well, that may be a topic you'll have to delve into.
Right.
Well, there's no question. I mean, people split for all kinds of reasons, and
right.
philosophical differences can be huge between mm-hmm. husbands and wives that are now divorced but still have children, and the woman has gone off and believes one thing, and the man believes something totally different, and
right.
then the children are thrown into these contradictory situations every other weekend or every weekend. You know, or holidays, and sharing
right.
sharing your children over the holidays can be a challenge.
Mm-hmm,
when the court
yeah.
decides, okay, every other odd year, the father gets, and every even year, the mother gets, and,
right.
you know, it's, and then, as you stated, you know, 16 years, 20 years, you know, that's a lot of time. To adjust all parties to this reality.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's important for adults to really need to just, they need to grow up in the situation. And I will say, you know, just be more mature about how you communicate with each other. And you know, and I just say it like grow up because that was told to me. It was kind of felt like it was harsh when someone said it to me because I was like, I'm grown. What do you mean? I'm just saying this is the situation. But they were like, you know, you have to be the adult in the situation. Don't let what the child says or does or what the mother or, you know, what the dad, you know, don't let that affect how you act. And that really helped me, too, to realize I need to change my mindset. Like, I can't cry about everything. And so, you know, we compromise, and that's what you're supposed to do. They ended up compromising. I would put my two cents in when I was asked. Yeah, so, you know, oftentimes she went from, you know, being with us for a holiday, and mid through the day we would go and drop her back off at home. I mean, that was just how it was. That was our agreement. We're in the city, so we were able to do that. And I realize everyone has different situations and may be estranged or, you know, not in the same city. Well, then you have to come up with some kind of compromise. But because when the court system, like you said, gets involved, it can be something so difficult. It's like, what? You know, like you said, odd and even and, you know, every other. And and it may not be desirable either, but it's court ordered. So you can't be in contempt. You have to do it. So you have to, if you can be mature and compromise enough to say, hey, this is the schedule, let's agree on this, that is probably the best bet.
Well, I would just be happy if parents would be parents.
Right. Yeah,
recently, my wife and I went to a hotel that had a swimming pool, and that was a big mistake because the quote-unquote parents would leave their hotel door open so their children could run up and down screaming like madmen and jump over strangers' heads in the pool.
Oh, my goodness.
And they were like totally animals.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I are looking at each other like, we didn't have that problem with our five kids.
Right.
And we don't have this problem.
Yeah, definitely different.
And we don't have this problem with our six grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And all we got to do is look a certain way, and they know they
right.
better behave themselves.
Yeah, this ain't that, not that easy anymore.
But unfortunately, the parents, they want to be little kids, and they don't want to
yeah.
be responsible for their own children.
Yeah, unfortunately. They
so
just,
you can write that book next.
Oh, yeah, I can, unfortunately.
Well, we need it. I think that if you're going to bring a human being into the world, at least be good enough to raise that child.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And not rely on someone else to do it for you, because as soon as you do, you're not going to be happy with the outcome.
Right.
And that's a big problem in academics. School systems, you know, are given responsibilities of babysitting or trying to shape a child that should be shaped at home.
Oh, yeah. And then the behavior interferes with the academics, and as the academics they start falling behind academically. They can't do the work, and so they start to act out, and it just becomes a cycle, and it just,
yes,
it's never ending. If people don't step up and do what they're supposed to do at home, if that cycle, it just will never end. It's always going to be there, you know, trying to behave and act out to deflect that I don't understand, I don't know, or I missed out on my instruction, or I totally don't get it. They're going to act out.
Angelon Edwards, thank you for being our guest on Authors First. Very enlightening. You've received high reviews, book awards, well written, well done. A must read for any step parent. Thank you for joining Artists First Radio, Authors
Thank
First,
you.
For being my guest. Any final words or a shout out to anyone on planet Earth, anyone you'd like to say hello to? Hello, are you there? Okay. That's all right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Thank you for your attentiveness. Be sure to visit the websites we've provided on our homepage at artistfirst.com.
Hello? Thank you.